All right, guys, it's time for the Next Level Guy Show, a men's interview, interest, and improvement-focused podcast featuring interviews with the greats from all industries to help you better your life. Each week, a new episode features an interview with one of the greats, covering all aspects of their story, from life hacks to tips and protocols that have allowed them to live life on the next level. We then highlight concrete action steps that you can use to improve your life. And now, your host, Ian Dawson McKay.
Today's guest is Ruben Rojas. In 2013, Rojas traded in his suit for a paintbrush and began transforming blank walls into unique, empowering messages that today are uplifting communities and challenging the public to create new dialogues and ways to think. Ruben's mission is to ignite creativity and inspire others to see the world through the lens of love. He partners with companies who aim to give back, enhance workspaces, and raise awareness of important issues. Some of his collaborations include BMW, American Express, Ava's Kitchens, W Hotels, and many more. His mission is to create a culture of love by using art to inspire others to choose love. As he says, live through love is a way of life. Living through love is an act of choice from the heart. It may be much easier to live in gloom and act from fear, but when you live through love, life is so much more beautiful. In this interview, we discuss art, creating, following your own passion, and how to live through love and change yourself in the world by following love. And now, let's get to the interview. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. I found you in various different ways through the Lewis Howes podcast, as well as many other different avenues. But for people who don't know you, and they really ought to, because you've got such a beautiful message, how would you explain who you are? Because you've got a wonderful life.
Oh, thank you so much. How would I explain? You know, I'm an artist. I'm a guy. I'm a guy that is blessed to be living his purpose. And it took, you know, a few decades to find it, to own it, and to be able to put this message out in the world. And my main medium is art. So we started with murals, paintings, art, you name it, in every capacity. So I'm just the guy that's an artist doing my thing.
Love it. So you started getting into art when you were younger. I think you said you were like constantly doodling, constantly drawing. You did an art class when you were younger. Do you think you're always destined to be an artist? Or was there a pivotal moment that you thought, I love art? You know, what got you into art, basically?
You know, using the word destined, right? I would definitely say that it was fate. It was my destiny. I took every path avoiding art. You know, I loved art classes and I loved that part of life and everything I did. Woodshop, photo class, and sculpting, and painting, and crafting, and knitting, you name it, whatever thing of creativity I could do. But I was always an athlete, so that physicality kind of took over on some of the creative physicality. But also, first generation immigrant son, go get the job, study, get the career, be a doctor, a lawyer, an attorney, go down that path. That is the safe, the path you're supposed to do. So that's what got me into studying medicine. And then medicine led me to going into real estate, which led me into becoming a financial advisor, which then led me to being an artist again. So I've always been an artist. It was meant to be. This is who I'm supposed to be. So yeah, I would say it's destiny. I was avoiding it though, but I listened.
It's almost like the universe was just trying to drag you back onto that path. Do you think there was a struggle between the Ruben who was the artist, that had the flair, the creativity, wanting to give that message out, and the guy that was getting it? Because I think you said in your 20s, where is it, that you were all about ego and collecting things. Was there that kind of issue between the fight between the two sort of wolves in your life, the one that wanted the money, the fame, and the one that wanted to express himself?
In the moment of the season, I don't believe so. Like in that moment in my 20s, I was in my 20s. It was all about bravado. This is how I can show the world that I'm successful. This is by all definitions of what the American dream is, right? Owning houses and things and cars and property and the lifestyle and the fame. That was part of it that says, oh, I'm successful because I have this now. That was my normal. That was my season. Was there a point where it fought with who I am now and what I was? No, I think I wasn't listening. So it really wasn't a struggle. But it led me to finding this again, because then I lost all that. Lost the materialism. Lost it all. Was still left with myself. I'm like, ooh, I'm still me without all this junk. And I'm not saying junk loosely to insult it, because I like nice things. Don't get me wrong. It's how I use them to define me, right? In my 20s, that car defined me, who I am, and I was successful. Now, I'm a car guy. I love cars. Like, I want a Lamborghini Urus. The difference is it's not to validate my ego. It's because I really appreciate and love the car, and I want it to want it for the craftsmanship of it, to the legacy of it, the history of it, and all of that. Does a car that expensive show that it's successful? Yeah, it shows that I'm succeeding as an artist, but that doesn't define me and who I am anymore. In my 20s, completely defined me. I was lost in it. But now it's more like I can appreciate it. So that's the difference now in how I approach things. But I don't think there was ever a struggle in the moment. I just didn't know for there to be a struggle.
Because that's why I was keen to have you on, was like, you do these amazing things, you're sought after as an artist, but we have these kind of things that we're always just created to be that person, and we are born that person. But you kind of lost your way and found it back. And I'm only just finding my own way through the podcast, speaking to amazing people like yourself. But I love to bring your stories like yours to people that said, yeah, you can change 30, 40, 50, 60 and chase the vision you want. And you do these amazing things, but you started painting murals while you had the job. People were kind of getting you to, you know, to do these sorts of things. Did you start seeing a pushback from friends, you know, that were wanting to come out drinking, coming out, you know, chasing the highs when you started doing this and started refinding yourself? Did your wife or anybody kind of come back and say, whoa, 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 you know, let's don't forget your bottom line. You should be making sales. How did you deal with that kind of slow switch back?
So there's a lot there. There is a lot there for sure. And it's interesting on one lens I put. So let me try to unpack it. In one capacity, let's just say my mom, whoa, 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 what are you doing? Right? It's not how you make a living.
Because they want the best for you.
Because they want the best for me. Yes, let's preface it with that. It's not all negative Nancy, but my wife wasn't my wife at the time, but she was all for it. She pushed it. Like, go do that. Go be happy. Go find your way. Like, you need to do this to be happy. At work, they're like, what are you doing? You need to focus on work. You could be the best of the best in this space. Get back and focus. You're pissing it all away. You're throwing your life away. And with some friends, because my weekends started taking up time of me painting murals and building this thing. And it's like, yeah, I don't really have time to do a lot of the stuff that we used to do. Like, I love sports, right? I'm a big NFL guy, and I would watch every game on the weekends. And there was a time while I was building this thing out that I caught up. I watched the highlights. I still stayed in the know, but I didn't have time for fantasy football anymore. I didn't have time to just get smashed and drunk on the weekend, because I'm trying to build something. So in one capacity, yeah, it's like, oh, so now you're getting, let's just say famous or popular or successful, and now you're leaving us behind. I'm like, no, you're happy where you're at. It's not about that. I'm on a forward trajectory. I'm like starting this thing from scratch. You're married with kids already. I'm not. Don't judge it as me leaving you behind. It's just I'm focused on a vision. So I think when you're so committed to a vision and purpose and creating a mission, it looks like you no longer have time for people, but I would say that's not the case. It's just more picking and choosing what I'm spending that time with. Like, if it's our favorite teams fighting each other, cool, I'll watch one game, but I don't need to watch all five games. And, or seeing this as well, just get drunk because I'm unhappy with my life. I found something that I was no longer going to be unhappy with, which I was avoiding in the past while I was figuring this thing out. I'm like, dude, I need to figure something out because I'm unhappy. And I could have totally ended up being the guy that gets drunk every weekend to avoid my life. And, oh, here comes Monday again. How fast can I get to Friday night? So that's kind of the roundabout answering all of what you just said.
No, it's no problem at all, because I used to have friends where I look at like the crabs in the bucket. So as one crab would climb out, the others would pull them back in. Rather than letting them follow out, they want to kind of say, no, stay here. And I like that idea of like friends who want to stay, keep you in the pub because it scares them to think about changing. So it's safer if you don't do anything outside of that. So you started finding your passion for art, you know, coming steaming back. You started having this mission towards love and kind of putting that message out there in your various formats. Was there a defining moment that you thought love was what you needed to share? Because I did the podcast, but I can't pick the moment I thought, that's it, I need a podcast. Did it strike you in that way, or was just everything coming together, you just felt it and put it out there? You know, I'm always keen to see how people, you know, do you have a defining moment? Because you seem to just follow the path for you, what was in front of you. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way?
I believe I just kept saying yes and following the path. I just like, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. This is where it's going. This is where it's taking it. But art is so subjective. Like I always, most of my art is in the context of love and fear. And it took me a while to like distill it down and distill it down and distill it down to a single word. You know, I have another artist buddy of mine and we were having this conversation and he was just like, let me give you an acknowledgement. The fact that you've like gone all over the place, right? Up, down, left, right, in and out, creating something in chaos and then being able to distill it down to one four-letter word in a single way of how you write it and express it. Like, if that's not the definition of an artist and that geniusness of less is more, simple is usually better. We don't need to complicate it. And art is already so subjective and so complicated, but the fact that I could just write love, like right here on my t-shirt, and that's it, that's everything, that's the ethos. That right there is the power of it. And I didn't realize that. I have to have people tell me that all the time and just remind me that I was able to take a word that has existed forever, right? I don't own the word. I didn't create this. It's just how I'm using it and how we're showing up in the world in this lens of living through love. But the moment, there's a few moments, you know, I stood up in this exercise and they asked us like, what are we creating in the world? And I stood up and said, I am love. And just over time, from every mural I painted, from Who Will You Be to I Am to You Are Beautiful to Anything Can Happen, stories of people standing in front of the work and choosing love. I didn't know that's what they were doing in the moment. Looking back now, I'm like, oh, love is a verb. This is a catalyst. This is an action. And I started taking all that messaging, all that information from God, the universe, whoever you subscribe to, a higher power, a higher being, a different frequency, whatever. I'm like, this is just love. And humans love to complicate everything. We are meaning-making machines. Anything can mean something or nothing, or we can invalidate what it means by a different thing. Mercury is in retrograde, and all of a sudden, everything's going haywire if you subscribe to that. So love, it's simple. We complicate it, right? I believe it's undefinable, right? The dictionary says it's a strong feeling of affection. It's definitely more than that.
Because there was this beautiful moment when you talked about love being like finding that mission. You lit up, you know, you had this little smile that just popped in. It was like every time I've seen you talk about it on like podcasts, it's that you can feel the joy that you have, that, you know, you've truly found what you're here to do and what to give out. But you were self-taught. Did you find any sort of kickback to people, you know, because there's this kind of snobbery in some industries about where you went to school, who your mentor was, how you're expected to pay your dues. Did you find any kind of like pushback from the established art scene? Ugh. Yeah, you know what I mean? That
I know
what you're saying. There is so much there, right? The beautiful thing about the world we're in today is we don't have to go by the normal quote unquote roots, right? Go get your master's in fine art, go study here, go study there and be anointed. And then someone picks you and then you're now the next on the up and coming. Like anyone could be an artist. You know, and there's more to it than that, but the truth is we're all creators. So yeah, you know, I have dreams of being in a museum one day and I have to just make my conversation so loud that people can't ignore me because I didn't go down the traditional routes. But I'm not going to let that set me back. You know, I've had people with MFAs and like, yeah, wow, your color theory's on par. Like, where did you get? And I'm like, I had to look up color theory the first few times I heard it because I didn't know what it was. It's just, no, I go by a feeling and what my eyeballs like. Like, this is how I like. They're like, and some people have gone to say, like, if you had gone to traditional art school, it probably would have ruined you. Right? Made you another cookie cutter product. So there's good and there's bad in all of it. I'm just staying on my path. You know, there's good and bads on the street version of it, right? The graffiti world versus the street art world versus the mural world versus this world. Like there's so many ways to skin the cat and places that you come from. And at the end of the day, if you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, just keep doing it. And just consistency. You got to keep showing up. It's not easy. It's not easy. Nothing's easy though. It's hard, but just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Because you've got this message of live through love, you know, and kind of going and giving love out to this to the world, love yourself, etc. But so many people live through fear. You know, they stay on the cultural norm, they stay in the job, the safe passage through life, and then they get to 80, serious regrets. You know, like you see these things in the nursing homes, they ask them, what's the five things you wish you'd done more? Lived fuller, taking advantage of opportunity, you know, like it's never work more or make more money. How do you think people can identify where they're living through fear rather than living through love?
I'll preface it with this, because I also always want to be careful that it's not that fear is a bad thing. There's benefits to fear. There's power in using fear. It's there for a reason.
Definitely.
Living in fear and living through fear is what we're trying to combat, in the sense of like, just realize if we look at the world through the lens of love instead of the lens of fear, we might be able to find an opportunity, a solution. We'll respond versus react, right? When we react, it's like, hot stove. And maybe you had, extreme example, maybe I had my baby in my arm and all of a sudden I jerk back and my baby goes flying behind me. You know, or, ooh, hot stove, give me a second, respond. Oh, I have the baby here, I can't jerk. You know, it's an extreme example because that'd be tough to not jerk when you're getting burned. But there's a big difference in responding. Or if I say this one a lot, so you get cut off on the road and the first thing you want to do is like, F you, like, I hope you get into an accident. I hope you get pulled over. You get a ticket, like, yay, because you cut you off. Or take a moment and be like, did they actually do that to me or did they not see me? Are they running late? Are they this? Am I safe? Did they not hit my car? Cool. Now you took a moment to respond and now you don't get all hot and bothered all day and ruin your constitution and your energy flow. So I think really what the issue is that the world is run by fear. We turn on the TV and we're fed fear. We're fed. It's just like a fire hydrant shooting down your throat, right? Shootings and pandemics and political strife and wars and, you know, recessions and interest rates and genders and all these things that are coming at us. And the way it's being fed to us through the lens of fear, I think, is causing more fear. It's causing us to react. It's causing us to be uneasy. It's not being presented as like, hey, this is happening. Let's find solutions. And if we start choosing love, and again, choosing love's hard. It's really hard. Maybe we could start coming to agreements. And we don't have to agree on everyone's opinions, but we could stop canceling each other or pointing fingers or this or that. Start taking personal responsibility. So a lot of it is about like, how can I show up? How can I take action? How can I be, you know, the verb in love here? Versus, you know, sometimes in fear is like, they'll vote. I don't need to go vote. They'll vote, you know, passing that responsibility. So I think there's entitlement stuff going on. There's all kinds of things. And every generation is completely different. I don't think it's pointing fingers at different generations, right? My parents grew up completely different than what I grew up with. My kids growing up completely different. I think it's across all these generations. If we choose love, we'll find an angle. You know, it's always there. The opportunity is always there. So how can we, you know, have people choose love more often? I think it's really just showing them that choosing love is an active choice. It just doesn't happen. It's not this warm, bubbly feeling inside of like a warm hug. You know, it's not that. It's just choosing to do the work and taking responsibility.
I love that. I love the way that it's, you've actually got to go and give it or find it and experience it rather than just feel it, because too many people share it to themselves. And I keep saying to people, like, fear is a good thing. It's trying to teach you something. It's trying to keep you safe. It's always going to be there. It's how you learn from it, listen to it. So we've all got that internal voice. A lot of people ignore it. They dampen it with drink, drugs, you know, promiscuous sex, whatever it is. It's fun when you're younger, but as you get older, you start thinking, there's more to life. I need more than this. How did you find that internal voice to come back to what you loved? How can we dampen the noise to find it ourselves? Do you think we all need a creative hobby like poetry, podcasting, you know, painting, whatever it is, to kind of express ourselves rather than consume?
I'll answer the second part first. And yes, I think we need an outlet for creativity, an outlet for creation. We're here. Like, look where we came from. Look at the world around you. Like, we lived on the dirt under a tree in a cave. And now you see these skyscrapers and these buildings and these like cities and the ocean. Like, there's, it's wild what we've been able to create. But we do consume so much, and I consume a lot myself, but I'm creating myself. It's a balancing act. It's not bad to consume and watch a show and get lost in someone else's creation. But if that's all you do, I think, yeah, there's a problem, because now that starts programming you how you are, and you forget you have critical thinking, and you can think and you can go make something. You know how many people in the world, I can't do that. I'm not an artist. I can't create. I can never do that. I'll just watch you. Like, but that's not true. And maybe it isn't that specifically, but it's something. So whatever the case is, I think we all need to go express ourselves in creating something. We're here to build. That's what community is about. That's go build friends. Go, like, there's so much. But how did I find the voice? Honestly, I think the voice is inside of all of us, and we lose it along the way. I don't know when we lose it, whether you're 2, you're 5, you're 12, you're 15, 25, whatever. It's there. It's within us, you know? And I can look back now and I remember what I used to write and what I used to blog and who I was. And I was very much rooted in this live through love style of energy and emotion and expression. Because I look back, I'm like, ooh, what did I write in 2007 and 2006? But you lose it along the way. Things toughen you up. Moments in your life shut you down. We start building up walls and we start protecting ourselves for whatever hurt, damage, pain we experienced. And we close ourselves off, not only to other people experiencing us, but to ourselves and our inner voice. And all of a sudden you don't live, you don't hear it anymore, or you lose trust with yourself, right? A lot of us don't even realize how often we break our own word. How often, oh, I'll do it later, I'll do it, and you never do it. I'm going to the gym, and you don't go. You know, I'm going to meditate, you don't meditate. I'm going to go on a walk, whatever, little things, we just don't do it. So without even realizing, we don't even believe ourselves or trust ourselves. So how are we going to trust other people when you let yourself down? You know, and it took a long road and path, you know, bankruptcy, DUI, bad relationships, going through depression, all these different career paths. And then having someone sit me down and say, hey, I'm doing this course. You want to check it out? You know, I'm like, yeah, cool. Right place, right time. We did it. And we just started digging in. It's a lot of group work and found my way back to my voice. Doesn't mean I still don't have bad days. Doesn't mean I still don't have bouts of depression and I go up and down and all around. That's the human experience. Hmm. But the voice is there. You know, try to raise that volume again. Try to bring it back out. Try to trust yourself again. I think that's interesting. I've never said that before. I think most of us just don't trust ourselves.
I've interviewed people who have been made redundant and then they were forced to create a business, a money-making scheme. I've interviewed people where something's happened and it's kind of given them the time, the energy to do it. But a lot of people, like you're saying, are fearful. And the second you start thinking, but what if I give up this job? Well, what will my friends think? What will my wife think? Before you know it, you've talked yourself out of it. And you've, like you said, you've lost trust in yourself. Was there a moment that you thought, no, I'm going to go back? How did you kind of deal with that fear when you were transitioning from employee to side hustle to entrepreneur taking on the world? Was there ever a moment that you thought, I can't do this? I need to step back and go back to my old career? Or were you always on this path that you just trust in yourself?
So I'll preface it in the sense of, like, ever since I was a little kid, I was a hustler. Side businesses, side hustles, making money. I never knew how to not make money. So I always could count on that. I've had only two jobs. I was a tutor in college as a biology, Mesa tutor. So I tutored kids in biology and science and all that. And okay. That paid pretty well. And then when I was a personal trainer, my base salary was kind of what was guaranteed, but everything else was sales and commission. So I've been sales and commission my whole life. So I've always had to count on myself. So I think that's part of it. In real estate, that was all me. I had to go generate it. I get a commission. In finance, all me. I had to generate it, go get a commission. This life right now, all me. I have to generate it, make it grow. So saying that, I'm wired that way. But the doubts never came in what are people going to think or yada, yada on this. And those are some of my fears in general on how I show up or the quality of my works. But it wasn't in this decision-making process, right? The fear or the doubts came in how can I make a living? I don't know how to make this real, right? In finance, you do the dials, you take the meetings, you take the calls, the da-da-da-da-da-da, and there's a formula, 10-3-1. Like, we know what we need to do to make money. And you can make as much or as little depending how much activity you put in and how good you are at your practice and everything. So, you know, real estate has a formula. You go door knocking, you go canvassing, you do the calls. So you don't really just do that in what I'm doing now. And I had to go back, and why I said that thing at the beginning, I finally just had to tell myself, Ruben, just stop being afraid. You've always been able to make money. You've always been able to turn things into something. You'll figure it out. And once I started figuring out that by testing, like, oh, what if I paint a mural for a brand that's their artwork or this or that? I'm like, ooh, we're making money. So I started testing the waters. So just make sure whatever your side hustle is, you can actually make money with it. And you go from there. But that was more, I had to make sure I remember to bet on myself. I bet on myself always, and I got to keep betting on myself. So I just had to get past that one hurdle.
Because that actually leads me perfectly on to another question is, we always look at creative people as pure. They give everything into their art, their project, their whatever it is. How did you juggle that? I need to make money. I need to sell myself, the marketing, the interviews, while you're just wanting to be pure and give every part of your soul into your murals, into your message, into your podcast. Do you find that difficult, that kind of juxtaposition between businessman and creator? Does it ever kind of sap you, or do you struggle, or do you find that's quite an interesting journey in itself as well?
The struggle is in I would be doing exactly what I'd be doing for no money. You know, if I was independently wealthy, that'd be the perfect thing, because then I wouldn't have to worry about it. The way I say now, my previous businesses, real estate, finance, I worked for money. Like, you're measured by money, 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 bring in more money. This money is a byproduct, right? I use this fitness example a lot. I go train and my goals are, I want to play with my grandkids, right? If there's a zombie apocalypse, I don't want to get eaten. I want to survive. Like, I say that jokingly, but you never know.
The way things are going.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The six pack is a happy byproduct, right? I don't train for the six pack. I have a six pack because I train. There's a difference if you notice that. Because if I just trained for vanity metrics, I'd probably be on steroids and dieting and this and that and chasing all kinds of perfection. So, and I use that in this as well. There's always like, damn, what am I going to charge? You know, because you don't want to scare them. You want to make sure you get the bill, but then you want to make sure you're valuing your time. It's always going to be a thing. But I think because I've always been self-employed, I've always realized like life is us selling ourselves. We're selling everything. As an athlete, we're selling how good we are to start. I was a three-sport athlete. You know, in school, we're selling ourselves to get the good grades and selling ourselves to make friends, selling ourselves. This is also not to say we're selling out. There's a big difference between selling out and selling ourselves. So it's like if you're so true and secure to your values and your mission and what you're creating, what you're building, the money is going to come. And the reason you need to focus on it is, do you want to build a life? Are you thinking marriage, kids down the line? I was thinking these things, right? I was in a relationship thinking this, like, if you're just like, oh, I'm just going to paint and things are going to happen. Maybe they will. But I'm like, look, I want a life. I want to travel. One day I might have kids with the right woman, because I didn't have any of this when I was starting. I did have my girlfriend, who's now my wife at the time. But you have to think that way. You have to think about the future. You have to think about all the things that you want. And when you think that way, I think it just becomes part of it. You know, to answer that question on – I've worked with several artists. I have in my other nonprofit, we've worked with artists doing murals all over the place. And there's always someone that'll do it for free, and there's always someone that's going to do it for $1 million and everything in between. Do what's right for you. But just remember, what are you trying to do? And it's only going to serve you to make money, be successful, for you to continue doing what you do. If I didn't make any money, would I even be here? I wouldn't be able to sustain this. Would I be homeless on the street? Would I have to go get a job? Because obviously I would never resort, hopefully, to that. So you just, again, make money for your own success in delivering your mission.
It's time for a quick break. There are millions of potential products to buy, so how do you know which ones are worth your hard-earned money? Simple. You go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and explore those that will transform and improve your life. You'll find deals, listener exclusives, and special offers with some great companies. Recommendations are 100% honest and only on items Ian has tried or believes in. The companies showcased will make you a better man in all areas of your life. Simply go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and level up.
Now, this will be a difficult question, but how do you create art? Because art's very subjective to the person. That if I gave you a blank canvas, it'll probably be a nightmare if it didn't have specific guidelines, because you'll have so much different kind of ideas. And, you know, I find with creative people, they can struggle to dial themselves in or know when they're finished. So they're always want to touch up this and fix this, and almost like a perfectionist would do. Whereas I know what it's like when you're looking at a blog post, a blank page. You know what you're trying to create, but you don't even know how to start getting the shapes, the structure in place. How would you advise somebody listening who wanted to create a podcast, start poetry, to start creating art, but not just losing themselves in it, having a kind of structure to it. How, you know, did you doodle, kind of pull ideas in a notebook that you come back to? What kind of tactics can we use to create better art, more dialed in art, more structured? If you want to be structured, I don't know.
I mean, there's a whole lot to this set of questions here. You know, when I started early on and I look at my original murals, I was talking to another artist and I remember asking her, it's like, yeah, I see that you have like a style. I'm like, I don't have a style. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. And she looked at him like, Ruben, like, look at it all. You have something here. Like, I just didn't look at it as a thing. The difference with creating a brand, a style, and a message and constraints within your artwork is it's going to allow you to, I believe, think outside the box, right? Like I feel like I could put love on anything and make it work and look cool and make it awesome and have a message. And I've built it to that point. But if you're so free and have zero direction, you could be making things left, right, and the other, and nothing's cohesive. There's no message behind it. There's no mission. I believe like every person should have a meaningful mission. They should have something that drives them forward that they put out in the world. I did this challenge to myself, like 30 days of art, and it was all random stuff. And I looked at it all and I'm like, what is happening here? And I think in many cases, some of us as creators can look at like, well, look at all these things I make, but there's nothing that's tying it together. There's no story behind, besides you putting in the work to create it. So what does that look like? Can you hone in on your mission and your vision and what you want to put out in the world and start creating in that vein or context? Then I think we get even more clear and challenge yourself, right? Because sometimes you're like, ooh, I'll just say it dumbly. What's he going to put it on now? And then boom. And they're like, whoa, right? We shock ourselves as to what we can put things on and how we can do it. It's just a little more clarity and guidance. I mean, I put notes everywhere. I have the notes in my iPhone, full of notes. And also just the thing, I don't just paint murals and canvases. Like, I write poetry. I write songs. I write, you know, I deliver this in so many ways. Whatever's hitting me that day, I put it down. Sometimes I joke. I made a song with a buddy. He's a rapper. And I'm like, yo, I don't want to impede on your space because you're the rapper, not me. But here, check out these lyrics. And he's like, no, respect. Like artist to artist, collaborator to collaborator. If we're all creating in the world, we can all collaborate. We shouldn't say, oh, you're only a muralist, so like I can't do what you do. Or you're only a sculptor, I can't do it. I do sculptures now. Like, don't limit yourself in where you're creating as well. I think we put those limiting beliefs on ourselves. And if my message is clear across every medium, then it shouldn't matter what or how I'm creating, whether it's clothing, postcards, rap songs, poetry, sculptures, podcasts, TV shows, cars, tequila, you name it. Hmm.
Well, because that's what I was really interested in, was that you've had so many different styles of message. So, you know, you do murals, trainers, all these sorts of amazing different things. You know, then you've got your own podcast. I heard you talking in another interview about using AI to create art and things like that. Do you find that transition, that, like you were saying about the 30 days thing, of just being open to taking on these different challenges and seeing how you could blend your message into the medium helps you become a better artist? Has opening yourself to every type of creative process made you a more open, loving person to kind of absorb and give back out to the world for the message of love that you feel?
Well, I will start with, I am a work in progress, right? We're never done. I could snap out my funks quicker because I have more tools and things like that. But I think we get to be open to everything and not try not to be afraid of it. There's a lot of fear around AI. I have no idea where this is going. I've watched the Terminator movies, right? Is Skynet coming after us or the Matrix? Like, who knows? You know, if we look at human, I've studied anthropology and history, and like, we're not the best creatures on this planet, right? We're destroying it all the time. We're killing everyone. We're killing each other. Like, other animals kill out of self-defense mostly, or because I have to eat.
Yeah.
But we tend to just kill ourselves because we get pissed off. We're tapped. We have emotions and other things that we get to try to get better at. But it's all part of the journey, you know? And AI is a whole thing in itself. If we look at that, it's like I have to learn how to communicate with the AI to bring the vision out of my head. It isn't going to take out what's in my brain. Maybe if you plug in that chip one day. But what's in here is what's in here. And we still have to teach it to do it my way, right? I think if people realize it's a tool to help us, right? ChatGPT, I'll write a whole blog post, throw it in there. Hey, spruce this up for me. Kicks it back out. Oh, I kind of like what that is. Then I go back in and rubify it a little bit more. And here's a slightly better piece because it's got more knowledge to come in on, like as far as grammar or structure or, you know. So these are just all tools. Everything's a tool to make us better.
That's a great answer. I mean, because we have, like, I think we think about these tools, we give them too much power. You know, we don't realize these are tools, like you're saying, to make us better, to express ourselves, but they're not better than us, you know. And I think a lot of times we come in and, you know, we can say to people, like, I'm in the flow zone, I'm going to do this. You know, I used to say about there's a balance between confidence and ego, rage and calmness, conforming or controversy. You know, you have to be in the middle of each and kind of feel sway both ways. But that's fine if you're in liking who you are as a person. How do you find, like, do you give yourself daily affirmations of love to kind of, because the best relationship you have is the one with yourself. How do you fall back in love with yourself? Maybe you've gone down the path, you've done stupid things, hurtful things. How do you find to love yourself before you give love out to others?
Well, you know, if I had the magic pill for that one, I'd be multi-millionaire. But there's also just having some routines and choosing it. You know, I'm going to use food as an example, because sometimes we have the fuck it day, right? Fuck it. Pizza, pancakes, waffles, drinking, you name it, like hardcore. And that could continue to spiral into all kinds of things. And in many cases, we as humans have multiple days of that. And the problem is, if you turn in one fuck it day to 365 to 780 to 1,000, all of a sudden you're far from where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
So I think self-love is also just a balance, because there's days that you're going to be upset with yourself. You're going to be mad at yourself. You're not going to be happy with how you look. I'm not afraid of dying, but the whole aging thing, that's kind of getting to me. I don't recover as quickly, or there's more grays and I'm like, ooh. Mm. So that's a thing I'm working through.
Tell me about it. This used to be black.
The hair. I have like a rogue streaks here. This is,
you look distinguished. I like it.
But like, it's a thing, and I'm vulnerable and brave enough to actually say, like, that's a thing that I have. But you know, every day I have my routines. I work out usually 5 days a week. That's part of self-love. My walk there, my training, my walk home. I try to eat the best possible foods I can eat, go by mood. And sometimes I want a double cheeseburger, extra fries. I'm going to eat the double cheeseburger, extra fries. I just don't eat it every day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes heavier drinking week, then you're like, ooh, I really feel bad. Ugh. Like, I think once you're tapped into these things, you realize, ooh, I can't keep going down this path. I don't feel good. I need a salad. Or I need to rest. I'm overtraining. Or I need this. Or it's just realizing the balance. And I think too many of us confuse sacrifice with love, right? Oh, I love you so much, so I'm going to sacrifice my health, my wellness, my fitness, my diet, my sleep, my everything. And like, we forget, if we're not healthy for our kids, then we're not healthy for our community, for our family, for our friends, for our coworkers. That's not serving anyone. Maybe in the short term, we won't notice it, but over decades, you're going to notice it.
Yeah.
And self-love and loving yourself is a direct correlation to impacting other people, right? The healthier I am, my son's going to be a healthy, fitter individual because he sees that I am that way, right? We pass these traits along. No one taught me self-love, right? My parents didn't teach me that. Not that it didn't exist back then, like it does, like as popular as it is now. But this isn't something that I'm going to teach my son. I can't say, hey, Remy, this is how you love yourself. You got to check A, check B, check C. No, he's going to learn because he sees me loving myself, right? Washing my face, how I treat myself, taking downtime. Like all these things are going to add up. Do I say, hey, buddy, that's an example of self-love? No, but I think we understand these things, right? Working ourselves to death or, hey, I never worked out because I didn't have extra time for me and I'm giving all my time for you. That's also not fair to put that kind of energy on other people because a lot of people do that. And again, that's why self-love isn't sacrificing. You know, love isn't sacrificing. Self-love is really being selfish, but the right kind of selfish. The selfish that translates directly to positive impact for others.
I love your way of looking at it and how deep you can go. I mean, you've got a fantastic podcast where you really kind of let people talk and express themselves and push you, and you learn from it and you seem to grow each episode as a person and like your understanding of it. How do you create a vision, an area for you to do this? You know, like how do you create a creative, not so much just having a studio to work in, you know, because you need somewhere to recover, like the gym to physically build yourself. You know, you've got your loving and supportive family. You know, I'm sure you've got supportive friends. You've got the podcast to express your kind of questions and discuss it with other people. How would we build a creative system almost? You know, because I'm assuming you'll give it all in the studio and go home and be a father. You won't bring it home from... How do we find that? How do we create a space to create in, a space to recover in, a space to be loving, to make sure we're not, you know, taken away from our relationships, taken away from our friendships? Did you find that a problem that any areas kind of bled into each other, or you lost stuff because you're focusing on another?
There's times where things have bled over and, you know, affected things. But currently, I mean, the minute we got pregnant, we started setting kind of rules. You know, be home at 6, don't really work on the weekends unless it's a project or where I'm traveling. And there's certain things that obviously go outside of the rules. But for the most part, 90% of the time, I don't bring anything home. And that's because I just have to turn it off. At home, I do bare minimum. Like maybe there's one last phone call or a last email or something, but for the most part, it's I'm donezo. That's it. It's me and the kid and my wife, and we eat dinner and nighttime things. And once I put him to bed, we watch a show. I think, don't say I'm creating spaces. When we create these hard lines and rules, it gives us opportunity to break them, right? Like I said earlier, we don't keep our own word. But when you keep that for other people to hold you accountable, there's an opportunity there. And it took time, like basically 10 to 6 is studio hours. There are many days where it's 5 o'clock and I finally get into quote unquote the flow. And I'm like, oh, it's 5:45. I got to go. But no, I'm in the zone. I got to go. I just got to go. And it is what it is. And those days get hard because I'm like, oh, I just really want to sit here. Like, I just finally got this itch to really paint or something. There's so much busy work, like in the website and manufacturing and product with so many things that are going on. So you never know what's happening. But you just got to set that up for yourself. Set yourself up to win. The world is chaotic enough. If you have a couple little things that you can check throughout your day to win, you'll be fine. If you're trying to work out at 4 p.m. and you keep not being able to work out at 4 p.m. for whatever reason, start your day with the workout. oh, but I need an extra hour of sleep. Go to bed an hour earlier. It's easier to go to bed an hour earlier, to get up early, go to the gym, and then have your day hit. Right. So like, there's certain things I'm going to do, because at later, who knows where it's going to go, and I'm not going to be able to go to it. Like today, like I took a week of traveling, and two days ago, I go back to fitness a lot. It's just, I'm an athlete and I train. So these are just examples, but I've worked out my legs really hard. I was really sore today. So I opted for a rest day. Today's days of walking, and I'm like, maybe I'll do a quick run at some point this afternoon. But it's already approaching 1 o'clock. I'm probably not going to get that run in, but it's okay, because I chose to make it a rest day. It wasn't like I'm going to do my workout later. But that's a perfect example. Like, the rest of life is going to get in the way. So how can we set ourselves up to win in the little bit that we can control? We can't control a lot.
So that's it's another beautiful answer. I mean, how would you deal then with having a shitty training session? You go in, you can't produce anything, you're not getting the color right, you're not getting the depth right, the emotion, whatever it is. Is that because you've set these kind of lifestyle controls that you know that you're leaving at six, that you're coming back in a fresh day, you know that you're going to look after yourself by eating right, having a laugh with a kid, then you're going to go back and it's a fresh new day, it's a new reset? How do you mentally reset yourself when you just can't seem to get the beautiful message, as beautiful as you want it, to create that emotion as much? Is there that way you kind of reset yourself? Like, some people have mantras to kind of get back in the zone. Do you have that control because you know you're going home at family at 5:45? That's it. Reset, new day, let's get it. How do you deal with
it? I don't have a lot of like routines and mantras and meditation times. And that's where I think people get confused, right? You're constantly chasing, ooh, what does this guy do? They're very successful. Let me do what they do. Ooh, what does this guy do? Ooh, what does she do? Ooh, you know, we constantly chase. I mean, find what works for you. If that's what works for you, go for it. But my straight up answer, consistency. I show up. I'm going to show up again tomorrow. I'm going to show up again tomorrow. I'm going to show up again tomorrow. And I keep showing up for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Consistency and showing up. Because all of the journey is the important part. We're so focused on the destination, the end product, the end goal. And we forget that the journey was everything that got us there. So I just show up. All right, tomorrow I'll just show up again. And there's days where I don't show up as peppy and bright, right? If I have a bad workout, I showed up. I still walked in the door. I don't care how bad the workout is. I still showed up. I kept my word to show up. Grading it, you could get a D, a C for showing up, but maybe you should get an automatic C for showing up. So let's just say showing up is a C. And then you can make it an A or a B. But showing a C is still going to get you somewhere. So consistency and showing up.
So how do you think your definition then of success has changed? Because before, in your 20s, you were talking about collecting the money, the cars. Now you're still collecting the cars, but you're understanding the beauty of it. It's because you want to have the beautiful item, because you understand the art, the passion that goes into the creation of these. How have you changed, you know, since you become a father? You know, you've got this beautiful family, you've got these amazing career opportunities, you're doing all these amazing things. How has it changed you as a person doing this, and your definition of success? And what's, because as we age, I think we realize what's more important. It's the experiences, it's the love we give, the relationships. How have you changed, do you think, as a person, and what you take as success in life?
Yeah, so the word success is such a funny word, because on one capacity, ooh, it's $10 million in the bank, it's the house, it's the this, it's the that, and we forget everything else. Or you have no money and you're like, but I have a wife and 17 kids and I've seen 10 countries and we're constantly struggling, but we're happy. Like, it's everything in between. I think success is, to your own specific definition, what you need it to be. And I think it changes over time. And like, let's like look at it yearly. This year, oh, it was a successful year. We built upon last year. Look at it that way. But gathering moments and opportunities, like travel, we measure success by how many countries we go to. We add that now to our measure of life success, right? Experiences. You can't measure that in value. You could be like, oh, that trip cost me 10 grand. Okay. But what you got for all of that was the people you met, the food you tasted, the places you saw, the cultures you experienced. You can't measure that. So it's all of it. Success to me now is it's having it all in moderation on your own terms, right? Do I have the huge house that I want by the beach? No. Will I have it one day? Probably. Will I keep not having it make me not happy for everything else I have? No. So I think gratitude, part of success is being grateful for what you have. Grateful for what you have and not worry about what you don't have yet.
Well, it's a good, because I certainly found since I started doing a gratitude sort of behavior, you know, like giving three things every morning that I was grateful for, but it had to actually be meaningful things, not just fresh water, food. It had to be stuff that was actually grateful in my life. It has made me better, more open towards friends, more appreciative of things. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, is being grateful. Now, you have this idea of love as being your mission, your soul sort of focus. From this conversation, has there been a word? Because I think you're very empathetic. You understand and you kind of feel the emotion and the vibe of things, and you can put it out there. Would there be a word that springs to mind when you think of me, the podcast, what we've discussed here? And how would I find my word that I can make a mission for my show? Is there a way that you would kind of say to somebody to find that vision, that message, that word, to put it forward, to help others?
In a single word?
You could say shite, but you know, you could say it more than that. You know, but is there something that you kind of think, oh, this is what's coming to mind? Or, you know, how would you advise me to find my version of love to help my audience?
Well, the thing that's super clearly standing out right now in what you're doing is just be curious. You're curious. You're inquisitive. You're seeking out to learn. That's it right there. That's love.
I love that. I love how you could just like that and it just comes on and it's like, because like I interviewed Jennifer the other night, and we were talking about being bold and, you know, taking a chance and going for what, my hair is ridiculous, going for what you want in life. And now I'm interviewing you about finding a mission to give to other people. And it's like the two interviews are put together for that reason. You know, it's to take a chance in life. And now with you, it's how to actually go and give and help and serve other people. How would you like this to carry on? Like, how would you want your mission to change? You know, is it like, do you want to just keep giving in messages? Have you got an end goal? Do you have a set of goals you're aiming for? Or do you find that restricts who you are and what you can produce? What's the mission for this love movement?
Oh, this is way bigger than me. The mission. Oh, I could give you all kinds of missions. Hey, this is the norm of how we operate. You know, I shouldn't have to put choose love on a wall, right? And I hate spread love. I don't like, ooh, spread love. Like, I just don't like that saying. Like, stop spreading love. Just show up. You're innately spreading it, right? So like, people say like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, I'm trying. Trying is already doing. You're doing it. Yeah. So if we're doing it, we're just doing it. So the end goal is like choosing love is the norm. That is just normal. Like, hey, let me seek to understand you. Not every Republican's a racist and not every Democrat's a hardcore liberal socialist. Like, we like to pigeonhole all the political views. We like to pigeonhole all kinds of things. And that doesn't mean that's who we are. We're more complex than that. At the end of the day, you're human, I'm a human. But the huge thing, when the Olympics come in LA, I want to design the uniforms for the U.S. Olympic team. I've had them designed for years now. I want them to come out in red, white, and blue love gear. Like, that's huge. And that's not about, oh, Ruben got to do this. It's like, yo, America gets to show up choosing love on this international global stage called the Olympics. Like, that's way bigger than me. You know, it's a cool thing on the resume, but it's way bigger than me. You know, just that's, the clothing line becomes this huge mega multi-million dollar thing. Like, it just becomes a thing. The vision is way bigger.
I love how it's you're giving back to others. It's not, I want to become super successful and have franchises and do this and that. You're like, well, I want to give it out there and let it just evolve and shape and help other people. I mean, I'd love to have you back on. I know you've got another appointment, but there's so many things. I've got pages of questions about just art on itself, about creation. And I find you such an interesting person. And I love your podcast. I've listened to the one you had with Lewis House on the bus today. You know, it's like we haven't even gone into half the kind of areas I wanted to cover. So I would love if you want to come back on, it'd be an honor to have you. What do you want people to take from this?
Sure, let's do part two.
Oh, definitely going on to it. What do you want them to take from this as a kind of message, a way of thinking about love, about being creative, giving back to others, missions, whatever it is? What, you know, is there something that you wish more people would know?
Well, one thing that I want them to understand, the audience, take action. If you listen to all the things I've said, I've taken action. Everything had me take a step, take an action. You know, so that's it. You can listen to all the podcasts in the world. You can read all the self-help books. You can follow all the Instagram accounts. You can consume it all. But if you don't take action, it's not going to happen. So that's the one thing. And the other thing, you know, join me on this mission. Go get a t-shirt, grab some art, spread it, go on the Instagram, share the podcast, share the messaging. All these episodes I have so many different people from different walks of life. We got athletes and chefs and artists and doctors and other podcasters. And the through line again is it's how they're living through love. So more people are doing it than we realize. And just, you know, make it your mantra. Make live through love your mantra.
How do we know we're doing that? How do we know that we're living through love?
You just know when it starts really happening.
Is that sort of feedback from others? Is it just a true joy in life?
People will tell you. The feedback will come. You'll be happier. You'll be lighter. You know, I can't tell you like, ooh, yeah, now you're doing it. You start loving yourself more. It's just choosing love. Just pick one thing. It doesn't have to be everything. Don't say today I'm going to become the president. Today, take one step. What's the one thing at the top of your list that you haven't done? Right? We're going to go back to fitness. I want to lose 10 pounds. Go lose the 10 pounds. Love yourself so much that you're committed to really lose those 10 pounds. And if you can't figure out why you can't lose them, figure out what it is that's keeping you from losing them. Don't even worry about losing the weight. Figure out whatever the problem is that's keeping you from losing. Like, that's probably keeping a lot of other things. And that's ultimately what we're trying to get to. It's like, what are the things inside of you keeping you from your own greatness, from your own love, from your own whatever it is? No one's keeping you down. It's only yourself.
I love that. I love this beautiful way of looking at it and expressing it. And it's almost like you're an artist with words as much as you are an artist with anything else. And how did becoming a father change you? What would be your hopes for the next generation? You know, like how do you want them, the future generation, to experience love, to understand love, to embrace and carry on the mission that you've started?
So becoming a dad, it didn't change like my work per se. It made it that much more important because now I'm leaving another little human behind one day when I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they will carry the mantle in whatever way they do. He doesn't have to be an artist. He could be whatever, but just the thought of like, this is living through love. And look, it's the hardest, greatest thing I've ever signed up for. It's my greatest creation. My wife and I together, that little man is my everything. And I get to, you know, I always wanted the world, leave the world a better place as the safe. But again, now I'm leaving people behind. So it's even more important to do that. And maybe they'll have children and so on and so forth. And who knows how many kids will go down that pipeline. And if we could continue to make the world a better place. So it's just, it's made the mission more important because there's someone I also never knew I could love that hard. It's a whole other level of love. For those that don't have kids, and I grew up, I've raised a lot of dogs from puppies. And sometimes people could take offense. Oh, you're comparing your kid to a dog. I'm like, yeah, I am. Dogs are the closest thing I think we can include in our world that we can relate to how much we sacrifice for a child or the love that we can show. Because, you know, dogs unconditionally love us back. There's a whole nother level above dog, but for those that don't have kids, you try to use feel the love that you have for your dog and multiply that by like 10,000.
it is amazing because my sister's got three kids. I'm the fun uncle at the minute, and I can't remember life when they weren't there. Everything's about them. Everything's about what they're doing, like sending photos of them at school events or stuff they've done or funny things they've said, and it encapsulates so. I can't wait to have my own, but I love the fact that you lit up when you were talking about your kid there. You know, you lit up about the seeing them develop and grow in that, and it says a lot about you as a person that you just want to make their world better, make them better, them happier. And it is a beautiful way of talking about it. Until I can get you back on, I'm really gutted to have to end it. How would you want people to follow you? To find your podcast, to find your social media, to buy the, you know, your merchandise, to see the murals, to find their own journey and follow the live through life, love.
RubenRojas.com. You can find everything there. RUBEN, not the sandwich, ROJAS.com. The podcast is called Live Through Love. You could also type in my name. It'll show up everywhere. We are releasing episode 72 tomorrow, and the merch is online. We ship everywhere, all over the world. I have shipped to Scotland before and other places. It's really cool how far I've been able to reach that way. But everyone's support means the world. You know, it keeps us pushing this thing forward. As you know, podcast itself, those are labors of love, right? We pour 100%. A lot of time, money, and value into creating the content. So, yeah, listening, rating, reviewing for you, for me, for everybody.
Well, that's it for another week. And thank you for listening. It's now time to take what you've learned and use it to develop and enhance your life with the key points mentioned. Listen, try it. Embrace it, use it, and crush it. Now's your time to hit that next level in your life. If you liked this episode, then please leave a comment on the show notes or a review of the show on your podcast platform. Everything helps evolve the show. Until next week, keep seeking the next level in your life.